speaker is Linda from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Linda, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, happy to be here. And I'm a grateful alcoholic today. Let's see. My sobriety date is July 30th, 2000. I have a home group. It's the We Group. It meets on Monday night. And I'm really grateful to be sober. And I wasn't grateful when I first got here. I grew up in the North Park area. I actually wasn't born here, but I grew up here. I was had two older brothers, and I know, like, looking back, that I was definitely alcoholic because I was very, very sensitive. And or I had this ism because I was very sensitive, and I was very I wanted to know what was wrong with me. I just thought if I could, somebody would tell me what was wrong with me, then I'd be all right. And I would ask people, you know, well, what's wrong with me? If they would, like, growing up and kids pick on you, I would get picked on. I'd say, well, what's wrong with me? And then I'll change. So, for you. And then I remember, I don't know if it was my first drink, but it was definitely my first drunk. And my mom had sold the house. It was like right after 79, there was a plane crash. Some people remember that. And it was a devastating time in my life. And then my mom decided to sell the house and move to India, which was weird. India, the country. People go, Indiana? No, India. And really. So she sells the house, and I'm like, and it's the last night that we had in the house, and I thought, you know, what a great idea would be to take a big gulp, you know, 7-Eleven big gulp, and I could go to the bar, and I could have it wasn't a bar, it was Tuba Man's, but it was like a bar because they had a pool table, and I could mix seven up with seven, Seagram 7, and I hadn't hardly drank before, but I just filled that big gulp up, and we played pool, and I just remember the last thought in my head before I blacked out was, I'm in control. I thought that. I remember it as clear as day. And then waking up on the hardwood floor the next morning, and and the guy, like, had eaten a bunch of donuts, and the guy's pounding down the door, you guys got to get out, you know. So there was, like, this trauma in my, but drinking was definitely made me feel different. Like, none of that mattered. And that's how it went on for me. Like, I didn't care what my circumstances were or what it cost me. I needed that drink, and I needed to drink a lot, and I needed to be around people that drank a lot as much as I did. And I would just sacrifice anything to be with those people. And I had a friend, we, just ran amok, and I was having a good time. I was having a good time, and then, 20 years went by. And and I remember my moment of clarity. This is kind of gross, but I'll tell it because I remember it was horrible, and it was just about the despair that I had. I was sitting in an alley, and I had woken up after a blackout or came to or whatever it was, and there was a bag of potato chips, and I, you know, was a bar drinker, so, like, I couldn't make it home or whatever. I don't know. And there's a bag of potato chips, so I grabbed the potato chips, and I'm, like, on this mattress in this alley in a really bad neighborhood, and I'm eating these chips thinking, wait a minute, was this what I wanted out of my life? I was thinking that, and I'm eating the chips, and then I grabbed what I thought would be the last chip, and it was a slug. Ugh, that's a gross story, but it really, I mean, that was the synopsis of my life. It was gross, and it was horrible, and I did say a prayer at that moment, you know, because I had had these children, I had lost my children, they were taken, you know, because they were taken, but I had chosen alcoholism over it, and so I did say that prayer, and I didn't get sober right away, but I did a geographic, and I ended up, what happened, I was in Oceanside by this time, and thinking that, you know, if I could be homeless, I could be homeless anywhere. So I lived in Oceanside. And And this cop just kept, I guess he liked me, I thought, anyway. But he kept arresting me, and I was arrested like 4 times in a week, or I don't know, like 4 times in a month. And I decided, you know, like every time I fought the cops, tooth and nail, this time was no different. I mean, I was fighting him and, you know, you this, that, and screaming, thinking that they'll let you go, but they don't let you go. And and this last time, I remember I just got out that morning. I turned the corner. His eye met my eye, and something happened. I surrendered. I didn't fight, and I just went, I'm done. You know, it was a relief. So I surrendered in the back of his cop car, literally. And it was an awesome feeling because I decided that, you know what, I'm done. I was through. I didn't have any more ideas. I remember I couldn't get drunk anymore. I couldn't not drink. And I was going to listen to what they had to say. So whoever, and I didn't know who, and I didn't know Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was put in a program that introduced me to AA. And I, you know, I hear people coming in to this program. I fell in love with it right away. I really did. I mean, I was just in awe over people that had a story similar to mine and that they were sober and they could stay sober. So I did. I had this lady that was in my life. She was my house mom. And I just did whatever she did. And we went to meetings, we went everywhere, and she told me that I would be trusting God, cleaning house, and giving back. And I don't know what she meant, but I went through the steps, and that's how I learned how to do those things. And my life, I want to say I've recovered, but I've gotten things that I never had. I never would have. I never knew I could have. And I was able to. I had lost my kids, and I was able to get my daughter back. In my life, and she's been, they said quick before she changes her mind, but it's been awesome to be able to be a mom to her, and to show her, you know, not only that horrible place.